Taken from James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, we're going through some of the passages in the book of James, talking about the search for real faith. Search for real faith. And James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, which the wind that's driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that person think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded person, a double-minded man, as the Bible says, is unstable in all his ways. Amen. Let not that person think that they will receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. I want to preach on the message, stop playing games or mind games with God. Stop playing mind games with God. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is again that your children have come that we might learn of your word and that we might learn your ways. God, we're praying that you would just help us to understand what is the truth, and in knowing the truth would set us free. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing our nation, our world. And Lord, even though things may not be the way that we would have it to be, we thank you that you're still in control and you're still guiding us each day, blessing us each day, and more than that, being with us each day. Bless our leaders, help them to become everything that you would have them to be, and Lord, to do those things that you would have them to do. We pray this in Jesus' strong name and through his grace. And all the people of God said, amen. Well, I guess we probably need to think about what are mind games. What are mind games? And then we probably need to think about what does that have to do with this passage. A mind game, as we might think, it's any attempt to outsmart God. When we think of a mind game that we want to play against God, you're trying to outsmart him, or you're using something that God did not give you. Now, I want to say that every one of us, we're going to be tried in life. It's not a matter of if, but when. And the Bible says in James 1:12 that blessed is the man that when he's tried, he receives that crown that only God can give him. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he has been tried, he's been approved, and he received the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him. Now, as we think about mind games and trying to outsmart somebody, my mind goes back to when we used to play the game of hide and seek. We didn't have a lot of the gadgets and devices that children had now. We had to go outside. And in doing that, we would play games that we would make up. And hide and seek was one of those games. Now, it's an innocent game when you're a child. But it's not an innocent game when you're an adult. It's a mind game that you want to play when you're a child and you don't want the other person to find you. But it's not a good game to play when you're an adult and you don't want God to find you. That first mind game was played by Adam and Eve in the garden after they had eaten the forbidden fruit. And they decided that they would hide themselves. That was a mind game. Satan tried that same mind game, trying to outsmart God, standing in the presence of God, offering God worship, and at the same time saying in his heart, I will ascend and be like the Most High. I will be in his place, and I will rule. That was Satan's scheme. That was a mind game, and it caused him to be dispelled from heaven because God said, we're not going to do that. Amen. And so we play these mind games. Now that I've given you the definition, you're saying, well, what does that have to do with me going through a trial, what does that have to do with me going through a crisis in my life? Well, in that trial, God wants to shape you to be more like Christ. Our thing is, we have one of two thoughts. One is, just get me through this. And God is saying the object is to not just get you through it, but to shape you while you're in it. We play this game of saying to God, now if I can convince God to just get me through this, my life is going to be a whole lot better. And when God is saying the trial has come upon you to make you better through the process of going through it. So we're trying to scheme to get through it when the plan of God is to mold us while we're going through it. Am I making sense? We play this mind game. Here's another thing we do when we're in the middle of the trial. I've said it, you've said it. Let me see what I'm going to do. We don't even think about praying until the problem has gotten so big and the burden that we just sang about has gotten so heavy. Well, let me pray now. Why did you play the mind game of thinking you could figure it out when God already had a plan available for you before you even started the trial? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Now, if God makes his wisdom available to the wicked man, why won't he make it available to us? He makes it available to the wicked so that they would turn from their wickedness. Why won't he make it available to us so that we can perform righteousness as we go through the trial? Here's the secret. Here's the thing that you need to think about. You need to be thinking about not just will I get through this, but am I going to get through it in such a manner that I will obey God? I'm not trying to outsmart him. I'm trying to do the will of God as I go through this trial. Now, what was the first thing that happened to Jesus when he started his earthly ministry or before he started? He was tempted. He was tested. Brought into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days. Now, the first trial, the first thing the devil threw at him was this. Well, you're hungry. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, Jesus didn't play mind games. Let me see what I'm going to do here. He immediately turned to the Word, which is God's wisdom, and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, I'm going to rely on what God has said, not what I'm thinking. Right. Now, didn't we just read in that verse, don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Jesus, of anyone that could have said, I'm going to rely on what I think, did not do that. He relied on the word of God. Second temptation that the devil threw at him, he said, now, you say you're the Son of God. Well, why don't you cast yourself down from the temple or from the pinnacle of the temple and God will catch you. He'll send his angels to catch you before you fall. For it is written, he'll give his angels charge over thee, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said, it is also written, you should not tempt the Lord your God. Now, was he being tested? Yes. Are you being tested? Yes. But what do you say? Well, we usually say what we think. I think this problem stinks. I think that I shouldn't be going through this. Am I right? We've done it.
Yes.
And we confess to God, Lord, that's where we came short.
Yes.
All right, now I'm going somewhere with this. So hold on just a minute. The last trial that the devil said, he said, now, Jesus, let's just go right straight to the end result. You want to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You want to rule all these nations. So the devil showed him all the nations of the earth in a moment. Brought it right there to him. I'll give all of this to you. You got to do one thing. Bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, I could work this thing out here. He said, no, it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only, him only shall you serve. Now, what does this have to do with your test? Every test that you go through is designed, is framed for you to go to God's wisdom. Are you with me? And look to God's wisdom that is revealed through his word to get you not only through the problem, but to equip you while you're in the problem. Amen. You don't send a soldier into battle without giving him some equipment to work with. Amen. You don't send a worker out to work on something if you don't give him some tools to work with. So what God wants for you and for me is to have those tools to work with so that while you are in that trial, going back to James now, you can be thoroughly furnished into every good work. In other words, when you come out of that trial, not only will you be coming out a champion and having conquered the trial, but you're going to be so much better in the process. Amen. You will find out that God has equipped you, that God has done some marvelous things in your life and has brought you further through that trial. But what happens? We get upset. We get emotional. We get twisted. Why is God doing this? And then we start leaning. Everybody say leaning. We start leaning to our own understanding. See, you got to lean before you fall. Amen. You don't just fall. You first start leaning. Then after you've leaned a while, the weight takes over and there you go. There you go. Listen, the trial was never meant to destroy you.
All right. Amen.
Never intended. That would be a cruel thing to do for you to send a child through a trial just for them to fall and stumble and just for them to be destroyed so that the devil could have a laugh. God doesn't do that. He sends you into that trial to become like Jesus Christ. He sends you into that trial so that when you come out of it, you can have not only the grace of God, but also the strength of God in your life. Amen. Because the battle is not yours in the first place. Amen. The battle is the Lord's. So what does he say? He said, now here's some things that you got to look at. You got to look beyond what you see and start thinking about the things that are hidden. You got to start thinking about the things that are hidden. And what God wants you to have and wants me to have is the wisdom of God. He wants us to have that wisdom that only can come from him. Now, going back to this verse, I included that in the notes because when you're playing those mind games with God, I'm going to hide this and he's not going to see it. Jesus said, there's nothing hid. Nothing hid. That shall not be revealed. Amen. Nothing that you do in the dark ain't going to come to the light. How many of y'all found out that'd be true? Well, I'm just going to slip over here and I'm just going to do it. No. It's coming to light. It's coming to light. Amen. And it's going to be found out. So you can't play those mind games. And in that same light, you cannot go through a trial. You cannot go through a trial and say, well, the reason why I fail is because God put that on me and it was more than what I could bear. The Bible says he will not put any temptation or any trial upon you that he won't help you through it. Amen. That's God's commitment to you. That's his obligation. That's what he said. I'm going to self-obligate myself. Every time my child goes through a trial, if any of you lack wisdom, just ask. And God's not going to upbraid you, which means scold you for asking. Well, you know, just like a child coming and they hungry today, and you telling a child, well, you were hungry yesterday. You know, anybody got young kids, you know they eat a lot, right? Yeah, yeah. But they also grow. And that's the whole process. God will not scold you. He will not upbraid you. But he gives to all men liberally. And the Bible goes on to say, and it shall be given. If you ask of God, it shall be given to you. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm getting ready to face a trial, right? Just like Jesus, I can't expect to go through this life and not face some type of trial and some type of struggle in my life. How many of y'all know that's a reality? That's reality. And so some things that you and I can pretty much count on is that you will be tested at some point in your life. And the second thing that you can count on is that your test will go beyond your natural ability. Amen. How many of you had that to happen? Amen. I mean, it's gotten so bad, it has gotten to the point where you now realize my strength is gone. Amen. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. How many of y'all been there? And when you start saying to yourself, I'm going to throw up my hand, throw up both of them. Because when you do that, you're signaling God, said, Lord, it's in your hand, out of my hand, but it's in your hand. Do I have a witness? And then the third thing that happens, or the point that we want to understand, is that God will supply whatever you lack. He will supply whatever you lack. But then the fourth point, you got to ask him. Well, if the Lord know, then why does he let me go through this? So that you can develop the wisdom of God as you go through it. Does that make sense? So when you're going through that trial and when you're trying to just move your way through, you can't make big steps, but you're making little steps and you're saying to yourself, Lord, this has got to be better than this. That's when you ask God for wisdom, because he knew about the trial before the trial would even come. And he doesn't want you in this thing and your faith being tossed around, because that's what it's saying, that a person that's doubting, they're tossed around like a wave of the sea. How many of you stood in front of the ocean and you watched the wave come in and all the stuff that comes up with it? Here comes the wave and just digging up stuff. And you're saying to yourself in life sometime, when you become unstable, you feel like you're just dashing from here to there. Let me just, what are you doing? I'm just holding on. You ain't Tarzan. God wants you to do more than that and to be more than that. He wants you to be that conqueror. He wants you to come out of that trial just like Jesus did. The Bible said in Matthew 4, when the devil stopped tempting Jesus, he had to stop. Jesus was wearing him out. He was wearing him out, because Jesus would come at him not with the strength of man, but with the power of God. And when you're coming at any situation with the power of God, something has got to change. This is the same word that God used in the beginning when he said, let there be light, and there was light. This is the power that God gives to you and me through our tongue. Now, you don't do the work, but the word does. All right? Are y'all with me so far? Okay. So let's look at this thing. Where do we lack God's wisdom? That's a good question, isn't it? Where do we lack God's wisdom? Don't you wish you could go to school and thank God for schools like VU, where you could go to school and you can come out with the wisdom of God? Now, they'll give you a bachelor's degree. They'll give you, they'll give you an associate degree. They'll give you a master's degree. But they cannot give you that wisdom that can only come from God Almighty. You got to ask God. Right?
Amen.
Do we always ask God? No. We get in the middle of the trial, and we'll start singing that old spiritual, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And the Bible says, listen, quit having your pity party. We lack the wisdom of God, because the first thing is when we lack the wisdom of God and we're saying to ourselves, I'm being tested, and I don't know why. Isn't that what Job said? Where do we lack the wisdom of God? In our tests. God wanted to show Job some things that were beyond him. And it was only through the trial and the taking away. Sometimes the taking away of your liberty, taking away of your possessions, taking away sometime of your time. You're being tested. But this test will not endure forever. So said the teacher to the student. It won't last always. But then the second area of this thing is, where do you lack wisdom? You lack wisdom about the future. How many of you can tell the future? Now, I know you can go to those palm readers. The only thing that's going to happen is you're going to grease their palm while they try to read yours. Do you see what I'm saying? Only one that knows the future is your Heavenly Father. And I want to tell you that He loves you enough that He's already prepared for you, for that every trial you go into, God has already given you enough to not only make it through the trial, but David said in Psalm, my cup runs over. You're not afraid of the future. You're not afraid of sudden fear. You're not afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. You're not afraid of these situations because you know that the one who walks with you and the one that talks with you and the one that said you are His own, He will not leave you nor forsake you. If nothing else happens, you ought to know that if God be for you, He is more than the world against you. Some of you have had to face sickness, but you faced it anyway. Some of you have had to face hardship, and you faced it anyway. Some of you have faced disappointment. You faced it anyway because you knew that God did not bring you this far just to turn away and leave you. And we're sitting here in this year, 2018, and I can tell you at the year 2000, none of us thought the world would be here. Right? But we're still here in Jesus' name. Not afraid of the future because our God has already got things planned out. Third thing is, and here's the point, do you know what His will is? Do you know what His will is? Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Amen. And any time that transformation is not taking place, you're playing mind games. You're playing mind games. And you're not that smart. You're not that smart. You can't play a mind game with God, amen, and think that it's going to work out. So rather than saying, my will. I want my way in this trial. Jesus said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Are y'all still with me? Two more minutes and I'm going to get out of here. Amen. Problem number one is we fail to ask. Fail to ask. You've seen people that do window shopping? They ain't going to buy nothing. Come up in the store and the clerk asks them, what do you want? I don't want nothing. I'm just looking. That's me. Window shopping. Now, that might work when you go to Belkin. It might work when you go to Lowe's and places like that. You just window shopping. But what are you in the store for? Now, I hate the person that they window shop every place else. Here they go to God in prayer. Don't ask Him for nothing. Lord, and the angel said, what do you want? Nothing. Everything that we need, God can provide, and we walk away empty-handed because we just don't ask. James says over in chapter 4, I believe it is, he said, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask with the wrong motives, that you might heap it upon your lusts. But when you start asking God, Lord, I'm going through a trial here, and I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it through. You don't have to pray these fancy prayers. Just ask. Second thing is our wavering in our faith. When you start wavering, you're being tossed this way and tossed that way. And usually that's where you have some outside influences where folks get to talking to you. Well, if I was you, well, you ain't me. If I was in your shoes, you ain't in my shoes. My shoe don't fit your foot. And you start wavering in your faith. This is your trial. And this is your God who is saying to you, I'm going to take you through this, hold my hand. When you grab hold of God's hand and you say, okay, God, I know that you have a plan for me, and your plan is for me to not only make it through the trial, but to bring glory to your name. Help me through this and watch God move on your behalf. Watch God's energy and His strength start flowing in your way. Don't waver in your faith. Have your mind made up. Amen. Then the last one is being double-minded. being double-minded. And that's one that really inspired me, because here were the people of Israel back in the Old Testament, and the people of Israel were in this crisis in northern Israel. In northern Israel, they were worshiping Baal, and they were also worshiping God. Well, we don't do that now. But let me tell you what our Baal is now. Our Baal is the things of the world. All right? If you want, and every commercial on TV, you know, you have just eaten supper. All of a sudden, a commercial comes on. Don't you want this hamburger? Don't you want this chicken sandwich with the bacon on it? And don't you want this new car? If you sat up there and you gave in to everything that your mind saw, which what a lot of people are getting into, being swept into this thing, if you get drawn into everything that they're saying on social media, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be swept into these things of the world. It'll drive you crazy.
It will. Mm-hmm.
Do I have any witnesses?
Yes.
But when you have your mind made up and you start saying to yourself, wait a minute, I can't worship Baal if God is real. And so what Elijah had to do is tell the people, stop being double-minded. He asked them a question. How long will you halt or stop with these two opinions? Mm-hmm. All right, and now what do you mean by that? You got two things that you need to decide on. Mm-hmm. One of them is real and one of them is false. Mm-hmm. And God has already said to you and already said to me, I am God. Beside me, there is none other. So why in the world are we considering the alternative over here? Right. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I know this one. We want our options, right? God doesn't deal in options. He deals in faith. And when you've got faith enough to believe that the Lord is going to guide you and direct you, that's when you're saying, I'm willing to commit to God's plan. Now, remember what Elijah did. He had the prophets of Baal build their altar, and then at last he built his altar, and they called on Baal, and Baal didn't answer. And then he built the altar to the Lord, and God answered by fire. You got a mighty God here. He hadn't changed one bit. Amen. God is able and willing to move on in your behalf. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how he's going to do that. It's not for you to find out how. It's just your job to ask.
Amen.
And he will do amazing things that you never knew and you never understood. I got to move on quickly. I'm in overtime here. So no more mind games. Say this with me. No more mind games. I'm not going to play these things with God. If I know I'm in trouble, I'm going immediately to him. I'm going to ask God. And even if he doesn't give me what I ask him for, I know he's going to give me something. Amen. I want to tell y'all this. I had a grandma named Virginia. We used to call her Aunt Grandma Jen. And every time Grandma Jen would go by the store, we'd want something. And I remember one time I wanted a new straw hat. Now, she didn't give me the straw hat because it cost too much. But she gave me some candy. So I knew that she was going to give me something. God may not give you everything you ask, but what he will do, he loves you enough to give you the things that you need. Amen?
Amen.
And you can thank God for that. Amen. So when we think about no more mind games, and when we start considering our faith, no more mind games when faith depends on evidence that is not seen. No more mind games when Jesus commanded that we speak to the mountain, even though it looks like the mountain will not move. Right. I was going by Liberty University the other day. And I noticed that on Candler's Mountain, they now have a university where 30 years ago, it was trees.
Amen.
Trees. I don't even think they had an expressway at that time. Trees. And you can say what you want to about Jerry Falwell.
Amen.
But one thing I do know, because I heard him, he spoke to that mountain, and he said, we're going to have a school, a university on this hill. 30 years later, I'm looking at buildings,
yes.
And I'm saying, my God,
yes.
That man spoke it,
yes.
But God did it.
Amen.
Now, let me close with this. I'm not going to give you my 3 points. Amen. Let me just close with this. You are staring at your mountain and you're saying to yourself, ain't no way. Here's what you need to do. Excuse yourself. Get over here. Start talking to your mountain in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
You hear that? Amen. Don't just say, in the name of Jesus. His name is stronger than that.
Amen.
His name is above every name.
Amen.
His name, at the speaking of his name, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Amen. And every time I go to that mountain, and every time I go past Liberty University, I look over there and I said, God, you did what that man said. Do you think that your God and my God will not honor us if we ask him for something that is right and if we ask him for something
Amen.
That is good?
Amen.
Speak
yes.
to your mountain.
Yes.
Tell your mountain in the name of Jesus, you got to move because I got to get past here.
Amen.
I've got to move on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to get this stumbling block out of my way. I cannot let anything separate me from the love of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Neither height nor depth, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ.
Amen.
Now, what I'm looking at is some bold folks in here. I'm seeing some people. I watch you. I watch you sitting there in the service. Now you're getting ready to go out here. The Reverend said we can speak to our mountain. That's right. I said it. Because I got the word to back me up.
Yes.
Now, if the trial gets a little bit hotter by next week, you keep talking that, all right? Because remember, it took Jerry 30 years, right?
Right.
All right. But just realize that your God loves you enough.
Amen.
And we're not playing mind games. Be real with God.
Amen.
Be real with him.
Yes.
If you got sin in your life, just tell him, Lord, I got this issue. And I can't hide it. I want to just come to you. I want to confess it. If you got a weakness or if you got a trial that you can't handle, tell your God about it.
Amen.
And watch him do it.
Amen.
Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. I'm going to ask we all stand as we pray. I like talking to y'all. I tell you, y'all all right. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for your love and your grace. I pray that you have take this message and Lord, just help us this week. And I preach to myself, Lord, because I got some mountains.
Amen.
I haven't been talking to them. I've been crying about them. I've been weeping. I've been walking away from them. I've been running from them. But Lord, I want to face those mountains.
Amen.
And I want to speak by your authority so that your will be done.
Amen.
And Lord, you will be glorified.
Yes.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you.
Help us now that we will move forward in Jesus' name and do your will. In your name we pray. Amen. We want to extend an invitation. If there's someone today, biggest mountain that you'll ever face is that one that blocks you from God. And if you've never prayed that prayer of confession, saying, Lord, I need you in my life, now's a great time. Just ask him to come in, and he'll be your Lord and your Savior. If there's one today, we invite you to come. If there's one. If you're not a member of the church and you'd like to become one, we invite you to be a part of our fellowship.